Welcome to the Makeup Historian Podcast, interviews that preserve the beauty and blemishes of history. Or in other words, no topic is off limits. I'm your host, Sarah Long, a makeup artist turned historian.
For those listening and getting to know you for the first time, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your personal and professional background?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for inviting me on. And it's been awesome to watch your progress, obviously, since back then and knowing who you were then and who you are now. And, you know, much is the same for me. The me that you knew was a total like stressed out nutball, right?
I don't think so. If you felt that way, I didn't pick up on that.
Well, I was edging very, very closely to just complete and total burnout. But anyways, about me, I am a life, health, and wellness coach, and I am also the chief of operations for a multidisciplinary chiropractic wellness facility here in Costa Mesa, California. And I am also one of those really obsessive dog moms. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Oh, I love that. I love that. You love a good dog mom. I'm such a sucker for the fur babies. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I forgot to mention too, another reason that is I wanted you on the show was because of you were really one of the first people to ever introduce me to chiropractic care. So I'm fascinated to talk to you more about that. But then it's also really cool to see how you've evolved to this life coach business. Like, so yeah. I'm fascinated because I know a lot of people who listen to the show are women from around 21 to like 37 years old, and they're very focused on that, on their health journey and kind of taking a no BS approach to it. So before we jump into like kind of the chiropractic stuff, what really inspired you to start this life coaching business?
Oh man, you know, the funny part about that question is I wasn't really inspired to be one per se. Coaching kind of just fell into my lap. And honestly, I had no idea that this kind of coaching was even going on. Back in, it was either 2020 or 2021, I had gotten a message from a friend, and she was also a patient of ours. So she knew that I handled the insurance for the entire facility. And she was curious if I had any information on the projected reimbursement guidelines, insurance guidelines for health coaching. Mm. And me not even knowing that this coaching is going on, I'm like, wait a second, what do you mean? what do you mean insurance is paying for this? I've never even heard of it. Yeah. But she's a good friend of mine. So, you know, I told her I'll look into it and I'll let you know what I find. And, you know, sure enough, digging into the research, I found out that, you know, health coaches are being placed pretty much everywhere. We're seeing them in hospitals, private practices, even in corporate environments where companies are really starting to focus on the overall health of their employees. So, you know, initially my thought was, wow, this would be something great to add to the practice, right? This would be mm-hmm. a fantastic additional service of support that we can offer our existing patients. So I kind of just got into it off of that. The insurance reimbursements, it's still in the early phases of, you know, implementing that type of coding or for them to even determine if it's something that will be reimbursable. But I thought, well, man, I better get on this now so that if it does become reimbursable, my foot's already in the door for it to be a part of the practice, right?
Yeah.
So that was my initial motivation. And I just started with health coaching. And pretty early on, I realized that there was definitely a misunderstanding of the term wellness. So at the time, I was promoting solely as a health and wellness coach. And I think a lot of people see that as a health and health coach, right? They just look at wellness as another term for physical health. But really, wellness is all encompassing of every aspect of health, you know, mental, spiritual, physical, all of it. But I didn't want that public misunderstanding of that term to deter anybody away from working with me that I could really help. So I kind of just took on the term life coach as well, because it's a little bit easier for people to understand that we're looking at basically the big picture of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's That's fascinating. And I think it's so important to clarify the terms. And also in today's, like in the digital age, I think we are much more sensitive to that. And right. I think sometimes we underestimate just how much of an impact that has not only on a business, but on your own healing, you know, just being very cognizant and careful with your language. And I remember when we talked before, you were kind of a little, I don't know if you how you felt about the life coach term. So I'm glad that you, you know, had a chance to explain that a little bit more. That's fascinating to me, actually, especially as I
Well, you know, the term life coach, the problem is obviously like in any industry, it's been muddied, right, with maybe less than ethical practitioners or maybe not substantiated practitioners, but it's kind of corny, right? You think of life coach, it sounds corny. I'm not gonna lie about that. So I did have just a little bit of an issue with it for that purpose. Mm-hmm. And also because I just, there hasn't been a term that I have found that really describes what we do really well. You know, counselor doesn't really work. Mentor doesn't really work. Coach doesn't really work. There hasn't just been terminology that I found that really encompasses what exactly it is that we do. So I was like, I'll just take all of them. I'll use all of them and hopefully people will get it, you know?
Well, I'm real big on speaking things into existence. And I think if that is your mentality, you know, even if you don't, you kind of being ready to start something, in my opinion, is a myth. So I think like you just getting into it, even if you didn't have that exact word that you were looking for by default and throughout the process, I think you will figure out exactly what it is that you want it to be coined. Because I think you're right. It's not exactly... it can sometimes I think it can be a little bit misleading or hard to understand, but to me it seems like you're helping people find their authentic self and to be proud of it, to own it. So like that's from the outside looking in, that's kind of what I the impression that I get with the work that you're doing. Am I on the right track with that?
Absolutely. My work is all about empowering individuals, you know, helping people shatter their limitations and conditioning and just really show themselves what they're capable of and give them a chance to actually pursue their real potential, you know, and at the same time, maintain their individuality and their authenticity in doing so. So that's what I really work toward.
Yeah. And I really, I mean, I think that's incredibly important because in today's world, so much is fake. And you know, and everything is so staged and it's filtered. And I really commend you for what you're doing because I think it actually is quite terrifying for someone to be their authentic self today. Because what if someone doesn't like you, you know? And what if, you know, it's hard, but if you take a stand for anything, you're going to piss someone off, you know? So
absolutely. I have a lot of experience with that.
But I think it's so important. And I also think it makes a lot of sense with your background with chiropractic care. I think, I mean, I know there's a lot of stigma around chiropractic care. I experienced it myself. But I think the more I've learned about it and after receiving the care, I think it makes total sense that there would be a connection there in your own personal background. Because, I mean, I don't have the fancy medical like jargon, but to me, chiropractic care really was the thing that kind of helped my body go into a rest phase. And then I've learned that only then can you actually start to do the additional healing. So I think that seems to me, I mean, like it makes a lot of sense why there's that connection.
Yeah. I mean, my work in chiropractic has, you know, that holistic perspective has totally transferred over to my coaching, right? Like I said before, I'm looking at pretty much every aspect of these people, you know, that they let me look at. And that's something that I really learned being, you know, in the throes of chiropractic work and watching my doctors do it. So yeah, it's been, I didn't think the two could be connected, but, you know, as days go by, I'm just amazed at really how much it has kind of transferred over for me.
Yeah. So I'm curious, you know, what type of methods are you employing to truly help your clients, like find their authentic self and own that? How do you even go about that?
Well, you know, coaching really differs from coach to coach and sometimes even niche to niche, right? Like if you're working with a spiritual coach, they may do it a little bit differently than I do it. But the foundational structure of my practice is really rooted in this harmonious balance between like intuitive artistry and evidence-based theory. So, you know, with coaching being as young of an industry as it is, we obviously don't have as much coaching specific evidence-based research as we would like. However, coaching itself has its own foundational roots that are from psychology, neuroscience, behavioral therapies. So we use those tools and kind of combine them all together to, you know, create the relationship that we have between coach and client. So I use things like the trans-theoretical model of change. And then I would say two methods that I use pretty much in every session are actually communication styles, those being appreciative inquiry and motivational interviewing. And those two tools are really about evoking internal answers directly from the client. So I think a lot of people see coaching as like, especially health coaching, right? You think, okay, they're going to give me a meal plan. They're going to give me an exercise plan. And, you know, I won't speak for the rest of the coaches out there, but at least for me, that is completely against the way that I operate. What I really try to do is guide clients to their own answers. So a lot of the tools and methods that I use are very strategic in helping elicit those types of responses to the client. Because if you can get a client to self-lead, that is ultimately the goal, right? We want people to be able to lead themselves effectively. And once they get that first hit of self-leadership, it's like the doors bust wide open, right? You get like an instant hit of confidence in whatever you're going after because it came from you. I didn't tell you to do it. I didn't, you know, give you a program or anything like that. The answer came from you. And that's what makes it sustainable and long lasting.
I think that's incredible and so powerful. And on it, and maybe that's why there's even a stigma sometimes against like kind of the work that you do, because it kind of goes against Western medicine entirely to have someone be their own advocate and have the confidence and courage to do that. If there's anything I'm a conspiracy theorist about, I guess, if you will, it's big pharma. I'm not a fan because as I've done my work to get stronger, you know, I've learned that the body is designed to heal itself and it can if you help it. And I think that really is kind of counterintuitive. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some things where it's like, for instance, if you need an orthopedic surgeon, like, okay, I want them, you know, doing what they're supposed to be doing. But in other areas, I think it's a little tricky, I think, to navigate kind of healthcare these days, especially when you're balancing more holistic approaches with the behemoth that is Western medicine. So I think it's important what you're doing. That's incredibly powerful too.
Well, thank you. And you're absolutely right. You know, I'm sure, especially over the last few years, there are people that are right there with us in terms of kind of questioning big pharma. But, you know, as a consumer, as a patient, especially in our society where people are so busy and they don't have the time to like nitpick at every little detail involved within something as important as their healthcare, or they're at least not, you know, told that that's an option for them. It seems, you know, really debilitating. It seems like you're kind of at a loss no matter which way you go. So, you're absolutely right. Chiropractic and coaching is totally about individual empowerment, and that's, you know, I'm here for it.
Yeah. And this is kind of diverging a little bit from the questions I sent you, but it's based more so on my own. I'm just curious about this one.
Sure.
Based on my own life experience and clients that you have worked with, is there, I'm trying to think of how to say this, like what's the number one or like another piece of advice you can give to young women in particular who are really scared to advocate for their healthcare? Because I remember being that way, you know, at 21 years old, even 25, and just like, okay, my doctor said I have to do this, and just going along with it and not really standing up for myself. And it wasn't until I was in severe chronic pain and dealing with, you know, depression and anxiety, all of it at the same time, essentially hitting rock bottom, that I got the strength to start advocating for myself. But kind of putting together both of our experiences, I don't want other women to have to hit that rock bottom. Like, so with patients that you've worked with, is there some kind of advice to help, like, kind of get women out of that, like, kind of break that mental barrier before it gets too bad?
Oh, you know, this is, it's really tough because, you know, as I'm sure you can attest to, we're basically conditioned to follow that path, you know, from inception. So, you know, you don't really see a lot of people, even the ones that are kind of speaking up and taking the reins on their health, their voices are, you know, shadow banned or whatever, you know, you want to call it, but the message really isn't getting out there. And I would say to, you know, any young women, especially if you haven't reached a point where you have like a serious medical issue that you have to pay attention to, be so thankful for that and be proactive about it. Don't wait till you get too far into it to where, you know, it's this huge uphill battle. If you're healthy now, make sure you're doing everything you can to maintain that health going forward. And if you do have a medical issue right now, know that you are your own biggest advocate. Nobody will ever know what's best for you better than you, and nobody will ever care about you as much as you can care about yourself. So that would be what I would say about that.
I really love that. And I think it's important for everyone to hear that, but especially, I know how much it hurts a young lady. So I hope that, you know, I think it will reach the right person.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was just going to say, always get more opinions. If something doesn't feel right in your gut, what you're hearing or what you're being told, get other opinions. There are plenty of doctors out there that will happily give it to you within, you know, a no charge consultation or something like that, but seek answers if something doesn't feel right.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. Because if I had just listened and kind of gone along with it and given up and didn't do my own independent research, I would still be living with chronic pain, you know, and dealing with some really awful things. But, you know, but it was that one more kind of leap of faith, like, just keep going. You're going to find someone who understands what you're saying. And you just don't give up, really don't give up on yourself. You got to go to bat for yourself in your health journey, I've learned.
Yeah, totally. And if you are one of these people with, you know, tons of like a huge medical team and you have a really serious issue and it's overwhelming, find somebody like a health coach. We work directly with practitioners in a lot of settings to where we become a part of your care team and we can advocate for you and, you know, ask specific questions, find specific research that may be a little overwhelming for you when you're in that state. So if you need help like that, find a health coach.
That is phenomenal. Oh my gosh. I wish I had that. Like, that would have changed everything. So that's really great to hear. And this is the whole reason of doing the podcast is, like, I know there's people who listen who are dealing with their own health issues. And even like we had another chiropractor come on the show, Dr. Madden, and had several people go to her, and that helped. So this is my whole reason of, if we put it out there, you know, the right people, I firmly believe the right people will find the interview and utilize the information that we discuss. So now I want to transition a little bit, and I'm kind of curious, you know, out of your time doing this so far, what are some of the most memorable moments that you've had with some of your clients?
Oh, you know, this kind of goes back to what I was saying before about shattering limitations. Literally any and every time I have seen a client completely prove themselves wrong for the better is, you know, like a huge party. It's like a light bulb clicks on, right? And they are totally open to realms of possibility that they never considered before. And especially with this work and anybody that kind of pursues a personal development journey, it's nearly impossible to not talk about it and share about it with others when you start to see some results, right? So it's really rewarding for me to not only see my clients get these results and, you know, pursue the potential that they are meant to have, but also to know that they're having conversations, you know, in their families, in their relationships, in their communities. This thing that just fell into my lap has kind of turned into something that I really see as my responsibility and contribution to humanity. You know, I think this is how we go about creating better communities and neighborhoods and, you know, a world. So yeah, it's been quite the journey so far, but very exciting and very, very rewarding work.
That's amazing. And on, yeah. I mean, as a history professor, I can't help but like kind of put it into historical context. I think it makes a lot of sense, kind of like why people are reaching out for this type of care, and just like how you were saying how important it is to have community. Because I think we really witnessed, like as a result of the pandemic, that people are not designed to be alone. They're not. We're communal creatures, and we need each other to work through things, but we also have to be brave enough to face like the most pressing issues in our society together, and not just, you know, kind of take the easy way out, which I think that's, you know, kind of a hard part of healing. Like, and I've gone to different therapists before, and they always say like, you got to process your feelings. And the more sassy side of me wants to say like, if I knew how to do that, I wouldn't be here. You know, but I've learned that really doing that really just simply means to feel things and face things like directly. And that can be really difficult. Real healing is difficult, but the result of it is so much better because you get agency back over your life. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, on that isolation piece that you were talking about, really isolation is one of the worst things we can do for our health, right? Because we are communal creatures. And when you kind of look at that from an individual perspective, you know, barring what happened with the pandemic, we kind of grow up with that we're all alone mentality. I think especially as women, we're kind of conditioned to see that seeking support or seeking help makes you weak in some way, right? And I'm sure this definitely applies to men too, so I don't want to, you know, keep it to one gender, but yeah, that we need support, and support is readily available, but there's so many people out there that just feel like they have to go at it alone, whether it's, you know, their health or their dreams or whatever it may be. So you know, offering the support and knowing that it is being in a used in a way that is going towards a bigger picture, like, you know, kind of attacking some of our issues in society, is it's really cool to be able to do something that is, you know, puts my hand in a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah. And it sounds like you really have found your calling, you know, something that is fulfilling. Like there's, you know, no matter what you do for work, you're going to be tired, but there's a difference like when your work is fulfilling and you genuinely feel like this is your purpose, like it makes the world of a difference. And it sounds like you have found that, you know, your calling. It wasn't exactly, like you said, the thing that you anticipated, but but you know, a calling like that finds you. It may not be that thing that you wanted, but it's the thing you're called to do. And that's powerful to take that on. Definitely.
Totally. And you know, that's why I added the intuitive artistry piece to the coaching, because you know, just like a doctor, right? The doctor can know all of the stuff, but if he's terrible at bedside manner, the care is going to suck. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I was very surprised to, you know, get into my first session and it just like flowed beautifully. And I remember just sitting at my desk after that and being like, what just happened? Like, I feel like I almost black out because it just flows so naturally. And it's something that I never thought I was capable of. So, you know, it's really cool to also infuse my story of shattering my own limitations and letting that be, you know, inspiration for the people that I work with as well.
Yeah. And diving in a little bit more to your personal story in regards to kind of, now take, I mean, the next set of questions I had for you is a little bit more of like chiropractic history. That in itself is like a dissertation topic. So we'll keep it a little bit, you know, more focused. But sure. Before we get into kind of the history side of it, if you will, I'm a little bit more curious about like how you first learned about chiropractic care. Like, who was the first person who told you about it, or were you a patient? How did that happen? Like, how did you first stumble upon this phenomenon of chiropractic care?
Yeah. Well, my mom took me to see a chiropractor in my early teens. I was a really, really sick kid. I basically had chronic sinusitis for like the first 15 years of my life. I, you know, had horrible asthma. I was just always sick. My immune system was clearly not optimal. My digestion was terrible. I missed tons of school when I was a kid because of, you know, how often I would get sick, and I was just uncomfortable. And I don't necessarily know that my mom was fully informed on like what chiropractors did or anything like that. I can only remember going to see that doctor she took us to maybe once or twice. So I don't know if there was any kind of treatment plan or anything like that. But I really started getting into chiropractic, you know, in my early adulthood when I dropped out of college. My dad was really sick at the time. He had multiple heart attacks within a short time span. So honestly, college was just not something I even cared about at the time. And so I was just kind of scrolling through Craigslist looking for job opportunities and landed in a chiropractic office. And that was, geez, 16 years ago now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, sometimes things happen for a reason. It's a cliche saying, but it's cliche for a reason.
Yeah, totally.
So what was the thing that really kind of made you believe in chiropractic care?
My own personal experience. Once I started getting regular, consistent chiropractic care, pretty much every issue I had went away naturally. Allergies were gone. Asthma was gone. Digestion normalized. Literally everything just came into picture. So I thought, you know, I know that's anecdotal evidence, but at the very least, that's what I had at the time. And since then, I've had 16 years of patients that I've, you know, watched walk in and out of our office with what most people would call miracles. So, you know, I know that chiropractic is much like the coaching industry, where we wish that there were more evidence-based research available. But I know we won't get too deep into why we don't have more chiropractic research, but I will hint at big pharma and medical journals and how they're funded and how research is funded. But you know, anecdotal evidence, I think, is really powerful, no matter how much people want to discredit it. But like I said, I've got 16 years of watching patients walk in and out of my office with results that they had never received before from traditional Western medicine.
Yeah. And personally too, like I think when I first started learning about chiropractic care, I didn't really understand the connection to the nervous system and just how important that is. And as I've progressed and receiving treatment, it's kind of like it helps. Before you receive chiropractic care, if you're dealing with an issue or kind of experiencing the impacts of whatever the health issue is, it's almost like your nervous system is playing a game of telephone. And things aren't always, you know, it's like it'll send a signal, but it may not really operate the way it's supposed to. And I've noticed that with the care I've received, it kind of helps your nervous system work properly. And then the body can kind of start healing the thing that it actually needs to heal first. So, like, I honestly didn't believe it when I first started going to receive chiropractic care. I was convinced nothing is going to help. I'm going to be dealing with this chronic pain for the rest of my life. And then it actually does help. And it's weird. I don't even really know the right way to explain it. But when you've lived with chronic pain and then you're not dealing with it, you almost are kind of like, is this real? Because you're so used to pain that you don't really know how to operate at first. So it's hard because I think sometimes people make assumptions about it because we're so used to living in a world of instant gratification, quick fixes. And that's not chiropractic care at all. It's doing the hard work. So that way you're getting to the root cause of whatever is causing the ailment that you're dealing with. And I think this is kind of transitioning a little bit into the stigma, but why do you think, like in your opinion, where do you think that stigma is kind of has come from? I know that's a loaded question, but where do you think that comes from?
It comes from conditioning, really. And I know this ties into kind of what we're going to be getting into later on in the episode, but it's just this. There's been a story that's been told about chiropractors for a long time, and it's just perpetuated. You know, there are good chiropractors that are out there that, you know, educating their patients and their communities on the benefits of chiropractic care. But like you said, the behemoth of the pharmaceutical industry and Western medicine as a whole, you know, it's almost like laughed at almost immediately to most people, you know, for most people, because they just assume, obviously they've been conditioned to assume that doctors just know what's best, and that is solely for medical doctors only.
I think, and there is a book by the comedian, I think her name is Whitney Cummings. Is that her name? I read her, one of her books, because she dealt with chronic migraines, and that's what I used to deal with. But there was a part in her book that always stood out to me, because she talked about how medicine is a practice. And she was real, she emphasized that a lot, and to not be so like, doctors don't know everything. We love to think that they do, but this is a practice and we're working through it. So she was, you know, very keen on being kind of careful about that. Be careful of the doctors who think like, I know it all. That can be dangerous.
Yeah, there's a lot of ego, unfortunately, in all kinds of industries, but particularly in the medical industry. You know, anybody that comes in with their own questions or research that they found are, you know, immediately kind of combated against. And, you know, the white coat and the title is kind of thrown at patients to keep them quiet. And, you know, I'm sure chiropractic, actually, I will admit that there are some chiropractors out there that have probably helped perpetuate this story about chiropractic. Like in any field, there are some practitioners that are good and some that are not. So, you know, that's just the nature of any industry. But yeah, I know we're going to get into kind of like why that came about. So I won't say too much more about that.
Well, it is next on my list of questions. I had to write this down because this is from, you sent this to me. It was one of your posts that you had put on Instagram, and I didn't know about this. I mean, I knew there was a stigma around chiropractic care. And then after I received the care, I was like, why? What's going on? It's helping. I don't understand. and then you posted some, I have it in my notes. I want to make sure I get this right. The 1987 conviction of the AMA. Can you explain what was the controversy there? What went down? Because I feel like this contributes to a lot of that, the stigma. I don't think it's necessary, but I think this might help us get to where that comes from.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because most people don't know about this case. There's even a lot of chiropractors that don't know about this case, surprisingly. But basically what happened was in 1974, I believe it was, five chiropractors basically brought suit to the AMA for basically conspiring to contain and eliminate them was the terminology that was used. So it was a lawsuit, you know, quoting the Sherman, a violation of the Sherman Act. And so basically what we found was that the AMA had gone on this kind of like widespread temper tantrum about chiropractors and basically tried to just completely eliminate the profession as a whole. And, you know, I will say that chiropractors aren't the only ones that have been affected by this. Even more recently, we've seen like the FDA coming after homeopathy. So these kind of attacks on all what is now called alternative medicine really dates back to the Flexner report in the early 1900s, where it was, and this was a text that was, you know, funded by John D. Rockefeller and, you know, Andrew Carnegie. So I'm sure you can make some connections there. But basically, it was the new gold standard of patient care. And it pretty much eliminated anything that was not patentable medicine, anything that was not, you know, extremely researched in science. Anything beyond that was considered quackery or, you know, completely unscientific and unethical options for patients.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that a lot of this is, you know, has connections back to the Gilded Age with Carnegie and Rockefeller. Like, I'm not shocked at all because, you know, that really is when we see the rise of monopolies, you know, of big business. And I firmly believe, I mean, it's the same thing with education. Education is a business. I hate to say it, but it's true. That's why we have an array of issues. Mm-hmm. And I think medicine is a business. And now I think that explains the connection quite a bit, you know, where there is this kind of an attack on the truth. You know, there is an attempt to erase the truth if it interferes with a business model. And that that's unfortunate, but it is a blemish of American history that I think people like you and I, we just don't really give a damn if we expose that, because it needs to be said, you know, and I'm tired of watching people suffer and not having access to real care, to accurate information, to good research. So I want to say that I'm surprised that this went down, but not really.
Yeah, not really, unfortunately. And you know, the timing of that Instagram post that you referenced, I think I posted that in 2020. So it was like at the height of the throes of the pandemic, right? And you know, what we saw during that time was a lot of chiropractors standing up and speaking up. Wow. And you go in the comment section and everybody is like, oh, you know, chiropractors are quacks, they're killers, whatever, you know, people want to say. But, you know, I posted this about this case because the reason why chiropractors were able to kind of have a clear eye on what was going on is because of this case, because we have seen these methods used in history against us specifically, and now we're seeing it being utilized against the general public.
Yeah, I think that is something that, you know, my future self and then also future generations of scholars need to be very careful and cognizant about, is that there was severe censorship going on during the pandemic. It doesn't really matter what field it was going on. And you kind of have to be living under a rock to think that it wasn't going on. It was, you know, and it makes me sad, but, and we've experienced similar things like in the history field too, with censorship of research, and it happened during the pandemic. And even that saying, you know, like in times of a political turmoil or like a government takeover where there's a burning of the books, that saying actually has some very eerie, kind of morbid origins, but historians have been murdered and killed because they were essentially the living book. They knew too much. So I think that's why we saw a lot of scholars be very careful about what they were saying and careful on social media, really no matter what the field is, because we know that there's an attack sometimes a literal attack, but definitely an attack on your reputation, no matter what your field is and how detrimental that can be. So it's sad, but I think we have to still push on, and we just have to be a little bit careful and more strategic with how we do it. But saying it is still very, very important. And we kind of already touched on this, but I mean, what do you think have been the long-term consequences of that case?
You know, even though that conviction was back in 1987, we still see the effects of it happen in practice today. I could probably count on half of a hand how many MDs have referred a patient to us. The collaboration is not there, right? And you would want, or you would believe that your doctors have your best interest in mind, and that could include collaboration with other medical care members, but we have, you know, pretty much been excluded from that. So, you know, that's one aspect of it where we don't really get to collaborate with as much of the medical field as we would like, because we can operate in, you know, a primary care physician type of capacity. But also just in the mindset of patients, you know, I have patients even still today that'll, you know, call and say, oh, I saw my doctor yesterday. They said I shouldn't come see you guys right now. No explanation, no call from the doctor to talk to us about what exactly is being done. Just like a straight, my doctor says no, you know, and then just in public, there's still people that believe, you know, chiropractors kill people, chiropractors cause strokes, all of these stories that they've heard, whether it be chiropractors are unscientific or, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah. And that's so unfortunate because, and just like with education too, there's people who within the field ruin it. Like I remember, you know, when I worked with you guys, that you guys were the ones who told me be very careful of the chiropractors who don't do a full examination before. They're not doing x-rays before. Like, be careful. There are people within the field that, you know, they're not doing things the way that they should be properly. And it's the same thing with education, but it's sad because that dilutes the significance of the chiropractors who are doing what they're supposed to be doing. But as long as and it goes back to what you were saying in the beginning of the interview, advocating for yourself, doing your research, not just listening to one person, you look at different sources, you take your time with it. And I know that's frustrating sometimes, but it's so important in the long run to advocate for your own health. And it's a journey, you know, it's not a walk in the park. It's not immediate gratification, but the long run and outcome is incredibly, you'll be happy that you did the hard work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and I'm kind of curious to kind of conclude our interview. What do you think? And this can be a little bit more broad. It doesn't have to be to the healthcare industry. It can be even a little bit more personal with, you know, political things going on, personal things going on. What is something that you think is at risk of being left out of the history books right now?
You know, when I read this question, I was like, this is such a good question. I have so many different ideas. But what I really think is at risk of being excluded is, I mean, what's not at risk of being excluded at this point, but
true.
To keep it simple, I would say just the bigger perspective of the consorted effort to disempower the individual, right? Like most people are looking at, you know, issues in our society today and we're thinking, oh, it's just big pharma or it's just education, it's just whatever. But when you really take a step back and look at the big picture, you can really see the interconnectedness of it all. And it's hard to look at all of those things, how they connect, and not come to the conclusion that our potential has been intentionally stifled for a long time. And the efforts to keep us stifled and increase that stifling only continue more and more as the days go by.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you said that because it's something I think about a lot, especially as a history teacher. It's very concerning to me to watch my country forgo individualism and to be so eager to take the comfortable route and just let the government do everything for us. I'm like, I've never heard of anything so asinine before in my life. Like, this is not what Americans do. We don't do this. This isn't us. I'm concerned. I'm concerned by that. So I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's happening in almost every facet of our society right now under the guise of like things like globalism, or other ridiculous political things, but
it's all in pretty packaging, right? It all sounds good on the surface level until you take a little bit closer of a look.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And then my final question for you, Neva, what are some pieces of life advice that you have for us? You can do a few, we can do one. I'll leave it up to you.
So it's funny because that additional question that you sprung on me earlier was actually kind of my answer to this.
Okay.
But that being, you know, to just question everything you think you know and be your own biggest advocate in all aspects of your life. Take control. Life is not happening to you. You have so much more power within you that you have ever been taught to believe. And I promise you, if you're just willing to put in the effort and the intention, you'll find that to be true for yourself as well. So just, you know, fight like hell for yourself.
Oh, I love that. That was needed. Yeah. So much. That was amazing. Thank you so much, Neva, for being here on the show and taking time out of your schedule. And, you know, I am always here as your research progresses. If there's anything that you want to make sure goes in the history books or that people know about, that's what the show is here for. So you can always come back and we can expand on your research or we can do an entirely new interview. But thank you so much for being here.
Yeah. Thank you again for having me. This was a great first podcast experience. I hope that I do have more to talk about with you in the future. I would love to come back. So thank you again just for inviting me on and giving me a space to speak.
Absolutely. Anytime.